little bit rushed we were last week, Grace. I have Grace Willett, intercultural coordinator here with Near FM. How you?
How are you doing, Noel?
A bit rushed last week.
That's all right.
Okay. And not, I mean, with the pace of Bolivia when you were over there, we were talking. I think the last question I sort of asked you was what sort of industry you had there, and but you said it was pretty poor conditions and stuff like that, and not a wealthy country.
Yeah, it is quite a poor country. And they've had, you know, a lot of political unrest in recent years. But I think, you know, the new president, Evo Morales, has taken some really radical steps in, you know, drafting a new constitution that is quite advanced in sort of the status of indigenous people and women. And I mean, I think they're building from a strong foundation, but it's all about, you know, translating some of these words into policies and programs and reaching, you know, people on the ground.
Did you do any research before you went? Obviously you did, but I mean, how much and what sort of an idea in your head did you have of the country before you went?
Yeah, I did loads of research, and it was mainly on the organization that I was going to go and speak to. But I researched a lot about kind of Latin America and its position in terms of like the development agenda. South America has had, a lot of the countries have had an increase in GDP. So, you know, donor countries that would give overseas development assistance like Ireland and Sweden and Denmark and many other European countries would see them as not needing as much development assistance now because the GDP has increased. But the GDP is a really bad indicator for poverty, because that GDP is not necessarily getting reinvested in the health sector or education or any really necessary services. So while countries may be getting richer, the poorest are not necessarily feeling the benefits.
Asked you the question last week, do they have pockets where you have extreme wealth and extreme poverty nearly side by side?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see too much extreme wealth, but, you know, you'd see people in the cities who had small businesses who were able to provide for themselves. And then you'd go just outside and find these really makeshift, ramshackle camps of young people who had nothing and who were maybe living, you know, 30 people in a shelter without a roof on it, where they would sleep and eat. And, you know, for many of the young women, that's where they would give birth.
Wow. So any preconceived ideas? You probably didn't have any, but were you surprised by anything when you did arrive there to the extent of what you might have thought it was going to be like?
Yeah, I suppose for me, as, you know, like somebody from the West and from the North traveling there, I'd read a lot of horror stories about tourists, because, you know, it is a very poor country and you're basically walking around as this very huge white, money bag.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd get a lot more harassment. I really didn't at all. As I said, it's indigenous culture. There's not a lot of like overt harassment of women. I didn't get anybody asking me for money. Or approaching me in an aggressive way, which I was glad about, because these are things, no matter where you're traveling, you really kind of have to watch out for.
Living in Dublin, you'd be used to it anyway.
Exactly, yeah.
But as regards the whole sphere of living over there, day-to-day, what would it be like for a lot of the people? I mean, equality for women, would you say that that's over there, for instance?
Yeah, well, it's, as I said, you know, they have a new constitution which recognizes that, you know, women need to be protected from gender-based violence, which actually, now that you ask me about it, is a huge problem in Bolivia. I mean, domestic violence and gender-based violence, you don't really see them as you're walking about and on the streets. But it's shockingly high rates. I think like 80% of women report, and I can't quote the exact statistics.
I suppose there wouldn't be much services there either.
Experiencing some gender-based violence. Well, surprisingly, this organization, this CS, which is the health service provider that I was really focusing the documentary around, they partner with everybody. They partner with the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Education, and the Delivery of Sexuality Education. And they also partner with the gender director, And through that, they work with a lot of shelters for women so that women are getting a very comprehensive package of services, maybe not just a shelter, not just counseling, but also links to services themselves.
Okay. And the documentary that you're doing, when do you expect to have that finished and broadcast?
Yeah, I'm hoping for around March of next year.
Okay.
I think
is it going to be a series or...?
I've committed to an hour-long documentary, but whether or not I might split that into 2 half-hours, which okay. I think is allowed, is still a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just depends. I'm starting to kind of edit down the material, and it just depends on what the best way to present it is. Sometimes the material kind of tells you how it needs to be.
Okay. And flying time to get there, how long would it take you to fly there? That's a simple question, but I'm curious now.
Yeah, I think it's only supposed to take like 10 or to 15 hours. Mine was a lot longer because
really?
I went through...
it's like going to Australia.
Yeah, I went through Amsterdam and Colombia and then got
So I don't think it'll end up, if you put a lot of work into a tourist destination, really, would it?
No, not so much.
Okay.
I saw very few tourists there. But the ones who did, I mean, they got a really interesting experience of seeing the salt flats. And, you know, indigenous culture, though, you know, more than 90% of the country identifies as Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Many people are indigenous, so do have different interpretations of the religion and would kind of mix it with traditional spirituality. So you have these markets of indigenous kind of crafts and herbs. And
well, the reason I said that, really, over the past couple of months hearing people talking about different holidays, I was talking to people that were going to obscure parts of Spain. You know, they're not going to the local place. They're going way up north to the villages that's way out of the way. And they want to see not the usual thing. So that's, I mean, it could be what I'm saying, that the curiosity of people saying, no. If they hear the documentary, say, well, I wouldn't mind going there.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever they may see on TV, they'll go to different places. So you never know.
Yeah.
People are more adventurous now, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say. And
they're
looking for something different all the time in their travels.
Yeah, and I'd say I'm like that as well. I'm never looking for the cookie-cutter tourist experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now what about Culture Shots? That's still on the agenda as well.
It is indeed. So Series 4 debuted this week with a show for International Migrants Day. And coming up in the new year, we're working on quite a few shows. One around Diwali, which is an Indian festival of lights. And we've also got shows on an organization called EIL, Intercultural Learning, and looking at the 16 Days campaign being run to combat violence against women.
Okay, is it coming back on, I think, hear me calculations right, the 8th of January?
The 7th.
When it would be? The 7th.
The 7th.
Nearly right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a day off.
Well, listen, Grace, I just want to wish you a happy Christmas. And you're staying here. We have a Yank in Dublin for Christmas. Is it your first one?
I'll actually be in Fermanagh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're in Ireland anyway.
Yeah.
It's not your first one, though, is it?
No, it's not. I've had probably a couple Christmases here.
Okay.
And so my partner and I actually usually go away. We've gone away the past 2 years to just kind of avoid the madness, and that's been a good choice. But I think, you know, the family have missed him, and it'll be nice to be home.
I keep threatening to do that every year, to get away from the madness, but I never...
It is brilliant.
I never do it.
Yeah.
And how different would it be? I mean, we have... Miracle on 24th Street is sort of sticks in your head. That old movie, which was remade as well, as New York and place, you know, Christmas and big parades and all that. Is it really like that, or is it fairly low key?
Oh, it goes all out.
Does it really?
Yeah.
It's like St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, from the time the Thanksgiving Day parade happens and, you know, there's Santa on his sleigh at the end of the parade, and that's when, you know, everything is just lights and the Christmas music and presents and all the rest, yeah.
Because you'd have Santa outside all the stores as well, do they?
Absolutely,
really?
Yeah. But actually, you know, that being said, New York is incredibly diverse, so you know, at the same time you have Christmas, you also have Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there are sort of diverse celebrations and diverse ways of celebrating, and you'll see the different, you know, it's not all snowflakes. There are also, you know, menorahs and all kinds of.
You're sounding very nostalgic there, Grace.
Yeah, I do miss it. I like that diversity and
you're nearly always guaranteed. You're nearly always guaranteed a bit of snow as well, aren't you?
Oh yes, yeah. That's actually something I don't miss so much. It always snows on my birthday, and you know, the February is the coldest time of year.
Okay. Listen, Grace, happy Christmas to yourself and the great work that you've done. And
I'll
have you in plenty of times to talk about Culture Shots, but particularly about that documentary on Bolivia that you're hoping to go out in March.
Brilliant.
And a happy Christmas to you, Grace.
Thanks, Noel. See you in the new year.
See you in the new year.